If you're anything at all, like the millions of other frustrated Americans looking for an alternative to AARP, who sends out mailings like every 45 minutes, you need to consider AMAC, the fastest growing conservative 50 plus organization in the country.
AMAC was built by folks who feel the same way you do. You are not alone. AMAC stands up for the values that made America great: faith, family, and freedom. And they help fight the good fight against government spending and government overreach.
If you believe in pro small business policies, secure borders, a strong military, respect for our veterans, and standing for the American flag, think about standing with AMAC, who takes a stand in Washington to address those very issues and many more by going straight to the source and lobbying for the causes that matter the most.
Yep, issues like health care reform, immigration, fixing Social Security, and reducing prescription drugs costs.
Do what we did. Go to amac.us/chicks to sign up for your $16 annual membership. That's just $1.34 a month. Plus, you get amazing member benefits that include all kinds of discounts. Go to amac.us/chicks right now.
That's amac.us/chicks. AMAC, better for you and better for America. Some of our history sucks. I mean, it's
painful. There are painful parts.
Yeah, some of it's awful. If you think it's such a utopia, if you think it's such a great freaking place, you go live there for a while. But she's like, nah, I'm good.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
No one has common sense anymore.
Welcome to another edition of the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. Could not be more excited to have with us a very, very special guest, Zuby, who is a hip-hop star from the UK and who has also become a bit of a trendsetter and a firebrand in conservative and libertarian political circles. And I have been following you, we've been following you on Twitter forever now and have just been riveted by like every tweet that you do. Zuby, it's so great to have you with us.
Yes, thank you.
And I know that you're a hip hop artist and you released, I think, your first album in like 2006, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
But what brought you to sort of Twitter fame for the very first time was was a hilarious video that you did where you decided to identify as a woman momentarily so that you could take over the deadlifting record.
Yeah, as you do, of course.
So tell us about the reaction to that.
Oh boy, where do I begin with that? So I posted this in February 2019. At the time I posted it, I had 19,000 followers on Twitter. I just hit 280,000 today. So
wow,
yeah, a little bit of growth there. But I just tweeted this out. It was just like any of my other tweets. So a lot of people think that I sort of had this huge campaign behind it or I really planned it out or something. But no, it was just off the cuff, something I thought was kind of funny. And I put it out there. Within about 10 minutes, I think the video had 10,000 views. I think it cracked 100,000 views within like an hour and a half or something ridiculous like that. This thing just, the numbers just kept clocking up. Like I could not keep up. This thing just took a life of its own. It started spreading all through the UK, USA, Canada. It was just branching out like this virus spreading out into all these different parts of the world. It truly went viral. I woke up the following morning, it had over 500,000 views and then kept growing, growing. I think it's now like 2.7 million. And that's just on Twitter. Lord knows how many people have seen it elsewhere because it went viral as well on Reddit, on Facebook, started getting coverage in the US, in the UK. This thing really, really just took on a life of its own. I was just kind of there in the morning like, this is kind of funny. And it ended up becoming life-changing. I mean, the number of people who that was their catalyst, the catalyst that led to them discovering me was crazy. But with all the work I've done in the past and all the stuff I do, you know, people go viral on Twitter all the time. But what I often say is that normally just the tweet goes viral, but the person doesn't. But in my case, like I sort of went viral, like the person behind it, because people saw, okay, this guy, he makes music, he does a podcast, he's interesting, okay, he's actually funny, like a lot of stuff. So it just led to a whole bunch of opportunities down the line. And then in September to November last year, I spent 9 weeks in the US, went to 10 different cities, appeared on the Joe Rogan Experience, Rubin Report, Ben Shapiro Show, Candace Owens Show, Glenn Beck, Fox News a couple of times, just crazy opportunities out there. And it was just really, really embraced by the country. And yeah, where are we now?
How are you not canceled though?
Yeah, did they try to cancel you for that? Because, you know, you were sort of making fun of that whole, you know, the whole thing, the whole transgender thing. Like how did they try to shut you down?
They wouldn't be able to, nobody would be able to have a problem with that, you know, without going against their own points, right?
So yeah, that's I've been exactly
told,
right.
We've been told for all these years that a woman is anyone who identifies as a woman. So I identified as a woman and I broke the record. So either the record is mine or I'm not a woman.
Yeah,
and so you have to pick one of those. You have to pick one.
It's a great point. It's a really
but
it great
still
point.
Goes against, you know, there's a lot of people who make similar arguments, perhaps not in as hilarious of ways, but they do it and then they get suspended or banned,
yeah.
right? And you I know you faced like at least a temporary ban because of you wrote the words "okay dude" to someone and you got suspended at least briefly. Mm-hmm. What was that all about?
Yeah, I mean, of my 11 years on Twitter and 80,000 tweets, who would have thought that the one thing that gets me suspended would
okay,
be saying, okay, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
that was a really bizarre thing. So the story behind that was I'd put out like a list that was going viral. It was like advice for single women on how they can land a great guy. And it had like 5 bullet points on it. The thing was going crazy. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people saw this. And so, of course, when something goes viral, you start getting people who don't follow you, who start commenting on stuff. And I normally reply to anyone who's verified, at least, just because why not? And someone had responded to it saying something along the lines of, "I'm 90% sure I sleep with more women than you, and this is terrible advice." And I just quote tweeted it, and I wrote, "Okay, dude." And that was it. And I didn't think much of it.
Nothing
happened for a week. Like a week later, I was on the train back from London and I got an email from Twitter and it says your account at Zuby Music has been locked. And I initially thought, wait, what?
So this crazy.
I thought this is like some kind of scam email or something. This is really. And then I go on there and I'm locked out of Twitter. I look at the thing. It says I've breached their hateful conduct policy that, you know, you're not allowed to discriminate or threaten people. Threaten violence against people based on their race, their gender, their sexual neutrality. I'm pretty sure I don't do that. And then it had the offending tweet in a box below, and it just said, "Okay, this is the tweet we found violated our hateful conduct policy. Okay, dude. ..."
So how? So, like, what was the rationale for that?
They don't have to. You think
they give you rationale?
They don't have to have. Twitter doesn't have to have a stinking rationale. Yeah.
They don't give you a rationale. No. So I had two options. I could either delete the offending tweet, or I could make an appeal if I thought they'd made a mistake. And so I don't like to admit to crimes I have not committed. So I figured, okay, I've made an appeal. I'll make an appeal. Maybe this is just an algorithm gone wrong or something. The next day I get a response back from Twitter saying they've done a manual review and that they can confirm that this in fact does breach their hateful conduct policy. So I must delete the tweet saying, okay, dude, or I can't get back into my account.
Unbelievable.
So, so at that stage, you know, I had like 200,000 followers at that point. So it was like, okay, well, I do want my account back. So I had to delete the highly offensive tweet, really egregious stuff. And yeah, I got back on. I massively capitalized on it. I gained about 10,000 followers whilst I was suspended. Hashtag Free Zuby and hashtag Okay Dude both were trending on Twitter. And then the weekend came up. I made a t-shirt for myself, just a black t-shirt saying Okay Dude on it. I just made one for myself.
I love that.
We talked about this on a radio show.
Yeah.
Talking about it here in Indiana. We were talking about the Okay Dude on your shirt and I can see where you would have gained a lot of people.
And way to make money off of it. That's the best.
I've sold about 270 of those t-shirts or so.
Twitter is so clueless.
I got a single out of it. If you've heard my latest single.
This is the thing. Twitter has no idea what they're doing.
You've been pretty outspoken about racial issues. And one of the things I noticed that you tweeted about the other day was that, yes, of course you can be racist against white people. You can be racist no matter what color you are if you assume your race is superior to another person's. And so I was curious, just based on the fact that you're across the pond, what the react, because I know that this whole Black Lives Matter movement and all of the statue toppling and all of this reaction to George Floyd, that has been a worldwide thing. Mm-hmm. What was your experience like in the UK with all of that?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, the UK likes to import weird stuff from America. The UK doesn't. It's annoying because we always import the stuff I don't like rather than the stuff I like. And I love America, but one thing I prefer to the UK in America is that there is less racial tension in the UK. Like, people just don't see race in the same way. So, for example, I mean, in the States, it's common to hear terms like white American, black American, African American, Latino American, Asian American.
Yeah.
Here we just say British. Like if I were to call myself black British or African British, people would be like, you know, if I'm filling out a census form or something, maybe, but just generally no one says like black British, Asian British. It's not really,
that
just,
is so
it's just not really a thing.
We did a podcast a couple weeks ago on how we tend to compartmentalize people in America into little boxes, you know, just like what you're saying, how it's I'm black, I'm white, I'm lesbian, I'm this, I'm that. Everybody's in boxes here. And we all have these little compartmentalized spaces that they want us to be in. And it's so dumb. I don't know why we can't just be American and just get on with things.
I love that that's how it is.
I know. That is one thing that I think that's
people are trying to change that now. They're trying to like racialize stuff more. And, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter stuff, I mean,
Floyd stuff?
For a while, like people just see, you know, ideas that the U.S. is really a trendsetter. So whatever happens in the U.S., whether it's in universities or in, you know, aspects of politics, culture, et cetera, it does tend to, you know, when I say when the U.S. sneezes, the U.K. catches a cold. And that's very real. So, look, the George Floyd situation, obviously tragic. Like I was talking about this from before I even knew the guy's name as soon as I saw the video. But, you know, this happens in Minneapolis, thousands and thousands of miles away in a totally different country. And then, as you alluded to, a couple days later in London, UK, you've got people out on the street, supposedly in the middle of a pandemic, by the way, holding up Black Lives Matter signs, hands up, don't shoot, you know, end police brutality, etc. I mean, I think in total in the UK last year, this is in total, this is not like one demographic. In total, I believe the police killed 3 people. And two of them were terrorists in the midst of committing terrorist acts. You know, whereas in the US, that same figure is over 1,000. So to even sort of pretend that it's the same issue, you know, regardless of what someone thinks, the scale of the issue and the reasons, et cetera, the fact that people in the UK are sort of parroting the same thing and sort of trying to create this parallel and equivalent, I'm kind of like, that doesn't really strike me as totally honest, because it's like, well, yeah, we've got some problems here. But it's not the same as the U.S. We don't have the same history as the U.S. Mm-hmm. The black people who live in the U.K. are primarily here from a very different history than the black Americans, et cetera. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's just weird to sort of try to adopt all of the same narratives when they don't really apply. And that's something that seems to be happening here quite a lot. In terms of the bigger thing, like I just, it's so funny. It's so odd. The thing that strikes me as funny, even talking about racial topics, is like, I legitimately don't care about race. Like genuinely,
I just don't.
Yeah. I have eyes, you know, I have eyes. I can see what people look like, but beyond that, and this isn't new. It's like my whole life from, you know, I grew up in Saudi Arabia, the school I went to, everything. I was just surrounded by different people all the time and whatever. And it's just not a big deal. It's just like, yeah, whatever.
But so that's racist.
What you're saying is racist.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
You're racist now because you're not appreciating people's lived experiences and the color of their own skin.
See, I love hearing that, though. Mm. I mean, I love hearing it. I don't even like saying, I love hearing that from a black man. You know, but I do love hearing it from a black man because we have talked to other people who, you know, they will say to us, you're supposed to not say that. You're supposed to say that you have to care about the color of somebody's skin when we have actually been raised not to, and we're raising our children not to. Now in this generation, they're telling us you're supposed to care about the color of somebody's skin. We're like, wait a second, that's not what we're supposed. I didn't think that's what we wanted in this country. So when you're looking at the United States from the UK and you start seeing all these statues being toppled and all these, you know, and all these people saying we need to erase history, because you just mentioned history in America and how we have a different history. We're starting to see basically the erasure, the people wanting to erase history.
They're doing it here too, by the way. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, I didn't know that, because it's some of our history sucks. I mean,
it's painful. There are painful parts.
Some of it's awful, and I want, you know, we learned it, and I want my kids to learn history, and you don't want to repeat it. That's the whole point, right? Is to learn history and then not repeat it. And so erasing it, I can't wrap my brain around that, but that's what people are doing now. I just don't get it. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Look, I think in general right now, people are running on emotion rather than thinking and logic and rationality. And I think the fact people have been cooped up for 3 months and lots of people have lost their jobs, all of the normal outlets that keep us human have been denied from us, essentially. So work, exercise, you know, going to the gym, leisure, going to church, religious services, seeing friends, seeing family, all of the normal stuff that just keeps us normal has been withheld from us for so long. And that was one of my biggest problems with the whole lockdown thing from early was I was thinking not just economically, but in terms of the psychological impact, people are not considering what is the impact of leaving someone cooped up in their house, not being able to do much for 14 weeks, 15 weeks, right? Especially
yeah.
people
Gosh,
who live
so
by
true.
Themselves. Yeah, so you know, I live by myself, right? And so mm-hmm. I literally didn't, I've got a big family, but literally I didn't see anyone for how long. And even with me, someone who's very, very calm, someone who's like very, very chilled, even I have been like, oh my gosh, especially not being able to go to the gym, not being able to travel, not being, you know,
yeah.
and it's just like, yo, like I need to get out. So I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is massively exacerbated by the fact that people have just been pent up. And when there's a spark, which there was with the unfortunate killing of George Floyd, it just sort of set off this chain reaction, as you said, not just in the USA, in the UK, in Europe, etc. It's like, yes, we can go out, and the energy's just flying out everywhere. And it moved on very quickly. You know, it's kind of sad. People almost aren't really even talking about George Floyd anymore now. The conversation
yeah,
has moved
not.
On to... you know, canceling Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and tearing down Christopher Columbus and Thomas Jefferson and William
yeah.
Colston here in the UK and Cecil mm-hmm. Rhodes, like in my university, they pulled down the Cecil Rhodes statue. Like all of this stuff is just sort of spraying out here in all these directions. And the messaging is not, it's not being clear, right? Like it's, I think if
yeah.
you want to actually solve a problem, you need to be intentional and you need to think and you need to be rational. And it shouldn't just be like knee jerk responses to everything. And having little mobs who want to just kind of run around and do what they want and do what they feel, regardless of whether or not there's a democratic consensus, that's not good. And, you know, of course, the police are, I'm seeing in the U.S., a lot of the police are stepping down now in different, I mean, there's a little country in Seattle, like what's going on, right? Like,
yeah.
like what?
Yeah, right?
What's even going on? It's, the whole thing's just like, what is this?
It's the chat. I'm sorry. It's chop.
I know.
No.
Well, they want to be chop, but they were the Chads.
And I saw they're doing racial segregation there now. Have you seen that?
Right. It's crazy. Yeah.
Like my brain is just like, what is going on?
It took a murder and a shooting over the weekend for the mayor of Seattle to finally say, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Yeah. You know, we've been calling for her. Why don't you go live there? You know,
right.
you go, if you think it's such a utopia, if you think it's such a great freaking place, you go live there for a while. But she's like, nah, I'm good. I'll stay on the outside. You know,
yeah,
it's a summer of love.
It is. It's just a festival, Zuby. It's just a festival.
I feel like I'm in a South Park episode or something.
Crazy.
Exactly.
It's just crazy.
What's been some of the pushback? Because you're a bit of an anomaly, right? I mean, a hip hop, black, libertarian leaning, sort of conservative, outspoken dude on Twitter. Not quite as common as people might expect.
They're not like a thousand of you, like, you know, that you can get together with.
I wish there were like zillions more Zubies. We get all kinds of hate and awful trolling by people.
Yeah, people think that we are like controlled by our husbands and they tell us what they think. You know, like, because we're...
I was kind of surprised they let you both out like the same day.
Yeah,
you know
we're very busy. I know, exactly. They call us Stepford Wives, and like we have no control over our lives, and that we're told what to think and all this kind of stuff. And that's the only reason that we would be right wingers. You know.
Well, I did see. Was it on Twitter? I don't want to misquote now. It was something about how there are almost like there's two types of women in the U.S. and it's like Democrats or women who are being abused by their husbands, sort of thing. Like, essentially, it was suggesting
that all
conservative women are only conservative because their husbands, you know, beat them
this
and force
the
them
thing.
To vote Republican.
Yeah, that's the messaging. That is the messaging. Yep. So it's sure that you probably get similar backlash from people where they're just like, "What are you doing? Why would you be conservative, libertarian?"
Yeah, I mean, it's. Do you know why it's actually really funny? Is because when people say stuff like this, so I think because people are very America-centric, they run weird extrapolations. For example, I get people who kind of tell me that it's black conservatives are rare, okay? And I think people think that because they look at the U.S. and they think, okay, the vast majority of black Americans who vote for the Democratic Party, so that means most black people are liberal. And I tell these people, I'm like, have you heard of Africa?
Yeah.
Right? Like, on average, black people, on a global level, black people are way more conservative than Europeans or North Americans. It's not even close. Like, my family is originally from Nigeria. Like, in Nigeria, like, I'm probably more liberal than the average Nigerian, right? I mean, if I'm in the UK, if I'm in US, people call me conservative. In Nigeria, I'm like a liberal, right? I don't care if someone is gay. Like, you don't want to be gay in lots of parts of Africa, right? Like, no, like, people will actually potentially persecute. Like, with me, I'm like, no, that's not cool. Like, I don't care about stuff like that. And it's odd, you know, and I grew up in Saudi Arabia. So I often joke that, like, I'm a progressive in Saudi Arabia, a liberal in Nigeria, and a conservative in the UK, despite the fact that I have the exact same views in every country.
That's so great.
But in terms of backlash, look, I get, firstly, I only read like 5% of whatever gets sent to me these days because I just can't keep up. Mm-hmm. It's kind of at the point where I kind of don't care. Like, I'm past a certain point of, I'm just like, look, I'm me. Like, if I got backlash from people who I care about, or people close to me, or like my actual own fan base and supporters, and we're kind of like, Zuby, I don't know about that one, then that's when I'll be like, okay, maybe maybe I messed up there. But if it's just some random anime avatar on Twitter with 13 followers with some weird user, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't, I was going to say no disrespect, but maybe disrespect, but like, I just don't care, you know? I know who I am. I know where my heart is, and I know what my intentions are. So that's why I don't hesitate to speak openly and speak freely, because it's not like I'm secretly some like evil radical with horrible intentions who's trying to harm certain populations or whatever. It's just like, no, I'm just me. I know my beliefs. People may misconstrue certain things. If someone doesn't know me, isn't familiar, they may get confused about certain things. But it's just like, look, I'm me. I don't try to please everybody. I'm not interested in that. And it's a recipe for failure. It's like, look, I don't need everybody to love me. I'm going to put my message out there, and it helps a lot of people. It inspires a lot of people. The amount of love I get is 20 times the amount of any sort of hate or detractors that I get. So, you know, too bad for them.
Yeah. So glad to hear that.
I love
that.
I totally love that.
So what are you working on right now? Like, what's next for you in your hip hop career? What's next for you in your accidental career in politics? What's next for Zuby?
Wow. Okay. So I'm still, you know, promoting and pushing everything that I have. My fitness book, Strong Advice, I'm promoting that still. I have just released a Twitter course last week, social media course called Conquering Twitter, to help people grow on there and monetize. So I'm going to be promoting that. Still promoting my current single, Okay Dude. I have been sent a ton of beats from producers. My inbox is just full of hip hop beats because I've just been sent stuff. So I'm going to start writing my next album probably within the next couple of months. I'll start writing in the summer, I think. So that's going on. When life gets back to normal, I mean, I was supposed to be in the US right now. When stuff goes back to the normal, I will, you know, after a few gym visits, I will come back out to the States. I'm supposed to be speaking at an event that was supposed to be this month, but has now been pushed to August. So I need to go to Milwaukee. I need to go to Los Angeles as well. I'll probably hit a few other places. And a lot of it is dependent on this pandemic situation, because I'm still just limited in terms of live stuff, in terms of live speaking or like gigs. Mm-hmm. I obviously can't do anything in that regard until that gets lifted. But
if you ever find yourself in Indianapolis, we would love to have you in studio.
Yeah, we would love that. I was supposed to go to London next week. With my family. I've never been to Europe. I've been other places, but I've never been to Europe. I picked London, and I was going to go with my husband and my 10-year-old daughter, and she had like written down all the places she wanted to go in London. Stupid virus happened. Yeah. And so we weren't able to go. And so, you know, she got her passport, you know, and everything. We were all excited. And so this happened. So hopefully we'll be able to go. And when we do get to go, I'm going to call you, or I'm going to tweet you, and you can tell me some cool places to go that, like, you know, other touristy people don't know about.
That's right. The secret spots.
So you can give me some of the cool places.
No doubt.
Because I'm clueless.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Where's the best place for people to find you and all of the things that you are doing?
So zubymusic.com, zubymusic.com. You can find everything there. You can get my book and my merchandise at teamzuby.com. And then I'm on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, at zubymusic.
Fantastic.
It has been such a treat to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending the morning with us, or whatever time it is where you
are. Exactly. We really appreciate
it. You're very welcome.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much, Zuby.
Thank you, Zuby.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As per usual, because we have the best listeners on the planet.
Ever! Best ever!
We have some very nice comments left for us on the iTunes podcasting platform. One is from Candy Crash Not Cool, who says awesome sauce. love this podcast. Uh-huh. Always listen to your radio show. Have a signed book of Right for a Reason. Yes, I'm a big fan of Chicks on the Right. My pet peeve phrase is, at the end of the day, big girl. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Bigger girl.
Yeah, that's, I can see that. You don't have to be a rocket. Like, how many rocket scientists do people know?
I feel like I don't know any personally.
There's probably like two.
And that is from Karen. And she says, yes, she's a Karen, but she's a really good one.
We're probably going to get a review from a rocket scientist next week.
I hope we do. I hope an actual rocket scientist listens to us.
That'd be awesome.
We also have one from Jenny Buck 13, who says, thank you, chicks. You have a public voice for those of us who don't. I never shy away from what I believe, and I will voice that. You girls are the best. Keep on keeping on. We have one from Les W 1947, who says, great program today, chicks. Loved your Common Sense interview with David Harris Jr. Best podcast on the radio. Anyone not listening is just missing out.
Where yet? Where yet? And I love that one person before that said that they are not shy about voicing their opinions. So many people are shy right now. Y'all don't be shy.
You got to say it. You got to say all the things.
Say the things.
We have another from Nin Skitty, who says, thank you for the sanity check. I've been following you guys since almost the beginning, and you've helped to keep me sane in this crazy, crazy world.
Wow.
You make my workouts and commute so much more bearable, and I'm incredibly grateful that you two do what you do. You have the testicular fortitude to speak up and speak out, and I hope you both realize how much of a shining light you are in all this darkness for so many fellow conservatives. Thanks, chicks. You rock.
That is so sweet. She's been there since the beginning.
Oh my gosh, we've been around forever. I'm going to cry.
We're like kudzu. We just keep growing and growing.
If you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review and a nice comment on the iTunes podcast platform, that surely helps a lot. And if you haven't yet, you need to subscribe to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Yeah, but especially subscribe, but leave the 5 stars because I think at some point we get a t-shirt or something. I don't know what. I feel like we do.
And also all the other things.
Oh, yeah. You can find us on all the other places, like at Instagram, at Chicks on Right, and Twitter, at Chicks on Right. I don't know why you'd want to go there, but Mock's pretty funny there. And then I'm on Instagram. And then other places, our website, chicksontheright.com. Our Facebook page is Chicks on the Right. We have a Facebook group you can join, but you have to answer like a simple question.
Very simple.
I feel like you guys could probably answer it.
Yeah.
And
our radio show, did you say that?
No, I didn't. It's wibc.com. You can go there and you can listen live, or you can look at our podcast later on for that. So.
If you stream live, rather, it's 9 to 11 weekdays. That's Eastern time in the morning. One more quick review, at least part of it, because we got a really nice long one from Cherokee 1020. One of the things Cherokee said is, thank you for being examples of how to deal with the current insanity with humor, style, wit, clarity, and sense. Listening to your podcasts and your regular radio show keeps me company in the red dog, lightening my daily load with laughter. And that's what we try to do.
I know.
We just want to spread joy.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
That's all.
You're right.
We want to do.
And a little common sense. Just sprinkle that in there. Just sprinkle it on. It's like Parmesan cheese. Sometimes you have a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Talk to you next time.
Bye.